Mrs. Bartlett, distinguished senators, representatives, guests. This is certainly a historical moment for Alaska and for this nation. The people of Alaska have made their first designation of an illustrious citizen worthy of commemoration in Statuary Hall. Today we honor Senator Bob Bartlett and his immeasurable contribution to Alaska and her people. May I now call upon the Joint Armed Services Color Guard and the United States Coast Guard Academy Band. Please rise. I am pleased now to call upon the Reverend Edward Elson, Chaplain of the United States Senate, for the invocation. Dr. Elson.
Let us pray. God of our fathers and our God, who has made and preserved us a nation, we thank thee that in every age thou hast brought to the service of the people leaders of high vision, lofty idealism, prodigious energy and sacrificial devotion. We offer unto thee the thanksgiving of our hearts for the life and labor of thy servant, Bob Bartlett, and for all the sacred memories and hallowed recollections which cluster about this hour. We thank thee, O Lord, for his faith which brought to consummation a new state, for his steadfast devotion to all the people, for the genuineness of his patriotism, for his legislative and executive talents, and for his enduring statesmanship. We thank thee for the qualities of his manhood, for the discipline of his mind, for his selfless labor for others, for the warmth of his friendship, and for all the gentle and human graces which endeared him to the multitudes of his fellow citizens. May he now witness from this place in the lives of those who succeed him. May we who follow lay hold upon the higher ways of the Spirit and the enduring values of thy kingdom, to serve as he served, to be loyal as he was loyal, good as he was good. Send us forth to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We pray in the Master's name. Amen.
We'll now have words of welcome by the Honorable Mike Gravel, United States Senator from Alaska. Senator Gravel.
Friday Bartlett, friends of Bob Bartlett, honored guests. The memory so many of us have of Bob Bartlett as a warm and generous human being, totally committed to public servant. That is his monument. Statehood, a turning point for the North that will have such far-reaching implications for the future for all the people of the United States. That is his monument. Bob Bartlett has many monuments, achievements that flowed from his years of brilliant public service. The memories and the laws and the policy direction are memorials Bob Bartlett gave to us. While he lived, Alaskans and his congressional colleagues gave Bob Bartlett their love and trust. And now, together, we honor his memory for all time. Those who will not have known Bob Bartlett, those whose lives did not cross his, will view the statue we unveil today and measure the affection and esteem that we, his contemporaries, had for the man known as Bob Bartlett. It is small tribute, but it is one we offer with love and respect. Friends, it is my pleasure to welcome you here today. I do so in the name of all Alaskans, for Alaska's heart resides from this day forward.
Now we come to that moment in the program that we've all been waiting for, and indeed we're very fortunate in having with us Mrs. Bartlett, who will unveil the statue that commemorates the man who was her husband. In addition, we have with us today the two Bartlett daughters, Doris Ann Riley of Anchorage and Sue Peterson of Washington. As Bob's wife and dear friend, there was no one closer to Bob than Vitie. It is my great pleasure to introduce a great person in her own right, Mrs. Vitie Bartlett, who will be accompanied to the statue by Mr. Hugh Wade, the first Secretary of State of Alaska, and a very close friend of Bob's, Mrs. Bartlett, Mrs. Wade. Mr. Wade.
seated, please. It's my privilege to introduce the next speaker, the Honorable Senior Senator from the state of Washington, Warren G. Magnuson. Senator Magnuson and Senator Bob Bartlett served in Congress together when Bob first took his seat as a delegate from Alaska in 1945. Prior to statehood, Senator Magnuson was referred to as the Senator from Alaska because he worked so closely with Bob during those last short territorial years and was a leader in the fight for statehood in the Senate. When Bob came to the Senate in 1959, he wanted a seat on the Commerce Committee which Senator Magnuson chaired. He got that seat and eventually became chairman of the Merchant Marine Subcommittee. May I introduce a man who was not only a colleague, but a very warm personal friend of Bob Bartlett's, Senator Warren G. Magnuson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vidy Bartlett and your family, friends of Bob Bartlett, and ladies and gentlemen. I'm sort of an anti-climax here after the unveiling, but like all historic things, someone has got to make a record, which will be printed and will be looked at for a long, long time by friends of Bob Bartlett and people in Alaska. So it's a distinct honor to have this opportunity here today. Bob Bartlett was a senator from Alaska from 1959 to 1968. And may I say to the people here from Alaska, to the legislature and all of those who were his longtime friends, that in selecting this man as a subject for tribute, the legislature of the state of Alaska has acted in keeping with the great ennobling traditions of Statuary Hall. Of all the men and women associated with the long and arduous struggle and finally triumphant struggle for Alaskan statehood, none can be said to surpass in achievement the work of Bob Bartlett. He was a man of many talents and for many years a leader in Alaskan affairs. Bob was born in Seattle in 1904. He was brought by his parents to the Alaskan mining town of Fairbanks when he was only 1 year old. He was just past his second birthday when the bill giving Alaska an elective delegate to Congress became a law in 1906. The Organic Act was voted through only 6 years later. So Bartlett grew to maturity along with the Alaskan territory. He was a graduate of Fairbanks High School. He attended the University of Washington and the University of Alaska. He took up journalism, and he became a reporter for the Fairbanks News Miner. Within 3 years, he had become the associate editor and a highly regarded commentator on the Alaskan political scene. In the territorial elections of 1932, the Democratic candidate for congressional delegate was Anthony Diamond, and a major supporter of Delegate Diamond's fortunes in that contest was Bob Bartlett. Bartlett came to Washington in 1933. That's how long he'd been on this scene, as secretary to the Alaskan delegate. Arriving in those early days of the New Deal, Bob Bartlett attracted considerable attention for his knowledge of territorial problems and affairs. And in 1935, he was appointed assistant director for Alaska of the Federal Housing Administration, This was a new thing in these days, and a most difficult one. In 1939, Franklin D. Roosevelt appointed him Secretary of Alaska. And during the 4 years in that position, he served as acting governor on numerous occasions, including the opening of the Alaskan International Highway. That's when I first came to know him well. I happened at that time to be the chairman of the International Highway Commission. He was a member of the Alaskan War Council from 1942 to 1944. And when his longtime friend, Anthony Diamond, retired from Congress in 1944, Bob Bartlett resigned as Secretary of Alaska to run for Congress and was elected by a wide margin. Upon entering the House of Representatives, I just don't know how he did this, he was appointed to 7 committees, all of which he performed his duties with remarkable ability. He either wrote or successfully promoted a number of bills designed to bring federal funds and recognition to Alaska, and mainly to expedite the relief of the housing shortage in the North Country, and many other projects that I know well and was associated with him. Now, in the 80th Congress, no less than 13 of his measures became law. That's 2 for each committee. That's a better record than any members of Congress here have. I'll tell you that. Now, Bob Bartlett was equally impressive in defeat. In 1947, he introduced a bill providing statehood for Alaska, and the House Committee on Public Lands took up the issue with some enthusiasm. Hearings were held all through Alaska: Anchorage, Fairbanks, Seward, Kodiak, Nome, Barrow, Cordova, Juneau, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan. The arguments for statehood were advanced in great numbers, pointing up the major importance of the territory and her vast natural resources. The foes of statehood had many arguments of their own, all of which Bob Bartlett was forced to overcome. Many in Congress, and I remember well, and many of us here do, were seemingly alarmed at the lack of geographical connection between Alaska and the rest of the United States. They said, with some eloquence, it would be difficult to govern and defend a state so far away. Ironically, and I underline this, because this was the big fight, a large segment of Alaskan businessmen, fearing an influx of economic competition under statehood, threw their weight against the bill. And they had some effect. And they had some effect down in Seattle, where I came from, too. And none of, all you Alaskans know what I refer to. Now, some hoped to stave off the threat of an increased vigor in the implementation of federal conservation laws, particularly in relating to fishing in Alaskan waters. Some congressmen opposed the entrance of Hawaii to the Union, largely on some different grounds, but they regarded Alaskan statehood as one step removed from Hawaiian statehood, and they opposed both with vigor. And although Bob Bartlett's Alaskan statehood bill was reported favorably in the House, it failed adoption by the 80th Congress. But the struggle had now begun in earnest, and Bob Bartlett was clearly going to continue that struggle. In 1949, he sponsored the adoption of the Alaskan Public Works Act, making for the first time some $70 million available in federal matching funds for rehabilitation and community services in that area. He was active, of course, in achieving the passage of the act creating the Alaskan Housing Authority. So when the House passed the Alaskan statehood bill in 1950 by a 40-vote margin. The force behind that action was largely provided by Bob Bartlett. But some forces, which I like to call forces of reaction, prevailed in the Senate, and the bill was defeated. Year in and year out, Bob Bartlett preserved his struggles for statehood. And finally, that logjam in the Senate was broken, and statehood became a fact in January 1959. Logically and properly, the people of Alaska responded appreciatively for the long and noble service of this outstanding Alaskan who we honor today by electing him to the United States Senate. He drew the short term. We all in the Senate remember that day. It was very exciting who was going to get the long term and who was going to get the short term. But he was required then to stand for re-election in 1960. But once again, he was elected without any difficulty. And as a member of the Commerce Committee and later on the Appropriations Committee of the Senate, he established himself as a recognized expert on economic matters of all kinds relating not only to his own state, but to the whole Pacific Rim. Yes, he was a chairman of the Merchant Marine Subcommittee of the Senate Commerce Committee, but I think sometimes his great work was involved in fisheries, because that was near and dear to him. And he was regarded as one of the experts in the final decade of his life. Again, in 1966, he was the overwhelming choice of the citizens of Alaska to be their United States Senator. So much, and far more, is the public record of Bob Bartlett. But I want to say another thing. I think it's significant that on the program I was told to talk about Bob Bartlett, not Senator Bartlett. He revealed, of course, all through this service, the same strong qualities as a man and an uncommon human being for which he was well known and respected in Alaska. Editorials from Alaskan newspapers speak most eloquently about him, and I quote one: "The people of this state who loved him are known for their individualism, sectionalism, arrogance, and cleanliness. Yet he held them united behind him for over a quarter of a century, a longevity record in public office that's unequaled in Alaska." I don't say that for distinguished guests here, but it is a long time for that territory. On 10 different occasions, sometimes stubborn, unmanageable, belligerent, the political populace of Alaska handed him the crown with elections returns as much as 81% in his favor. How do you like to have a vote like that? No one in the state's history has ever enjoyed such frequent and solid support of Alaskans. But Bob Bartlett was many things to me, sometimes paradoxically so. He was an humble man, but one who was terribly and fiercely proud of his state, his friends, and of the loyalty he felt to those who had earned his respect. He was somewhat non-political, despite that kind of a vote, but he was a master politician. He was sensitive and shy, but he was practical and bold when the occasion demanded it. He was quiet, but he had a gifted wit, sort of a dry wit. But you caught the point when he made it. He was a public speaker who could enthrall an audience, and yet he was no great, I wouldn't say that he would himself suggest he was any great orator. And so I said, as I said in the beginning, this is a great pleasure to me personally to be able to take part in this ceremony a tribute to my friend. For well over a third of my life, he and his lovely wife, Vitae, were my close personal friends. And in the truest meaning of friendship, they both were friends of Germaine and myself. Now, Statuary Hall is filled with a very select group of men and women of some true distinction. Some known as the founding fathers of our republic, others associated with our more recent history. Our nation today is filled with men and women of distinction, science and industry and government. Our society is filled with its heroes, its stars, and its superstars, some often very transitory. Rare indeed is the man who is called a friend by all who pass his way, whose service was not self-serving, whose dedication did not seek personal glory, a good man who proved that a nice man and a good man can finish first. And Bob Bartlett did just that. He established during his life a standard that should set up a tone for Alaskan politics for many years to come. And the people of Alaska have much to be proud of in that record of a man who can rightly be called the founding father of their state. And he stood first in the hearts of the people of Alaska, and their gift, his statue now joins those who were an inspiration to all Americans and will ever be a very special inspiration to all of us who knew him. Thank you very much.
All the friends of Bob Bartlett, thank you, Senator Magnuson, for those very kind, warm, and personal words. Thank you. Now, it's my pleasure to call upon the Lieutenant Governor of Alaska, the Honorable H.A. Red Boucher, to make the presentation of the Bartlett statue in behalf of the people of Alaska. Mr. Boucher.
Thank you, Congressman Begich. Lovely Vitae. I received a call from Governor Bill Monday morning, and it was with deep distress that he indicated that our legislature was in its last 24 hours. In a vital moment of Alaska's history, and he asked me to join Mrs. Egan here in Washington for this occasion. I do it with a sense of humility because I was raised in this town and as a young boy stood in the middle of this rotunda. I watched Franklin Roosevelt come down Connecticut Avenue in 1932. And I had some prepared remarks, but when Vitae pulled the veil off of the statue and I looked at Bob's face, I said, this is not the moment for prepared remarks. If you look at the great men around you here, you'll see that there is a sense of nobility, a sense of sternness. In this man's face is a face of love, the face of humanity, the face that our state was fortunate to have and the nation needs today. You who are friends of Bob, I need not say much. You who have heard of Bob have not heard enough. For indeed, Bob Bartlett and the lovely woman who stood beside him for so many years were people to match our mountains. So from Governor Bill Egan and the people of the state of Alaska, we give you our most precious gift to this part, to the center of the history of our United States of America, the smile and love of a man who loved all humanity. In his face, you see the reflection of the Northern Star that he loved so much. To you, United States of America, we give our most cherished gift, the memory of Senator E.L. Bob Bartlett. Thank you.
Now it's my pleasure to call upon Honorable Ted Stevens, United States Senator of Alaska, who will accept on behalf of the Capitol the Bartlett statue. Senator Stevens.
Whitey. Whitey and friends of Bob Bartlett, it is most fitting and proper that Bob Bartlett's statue should rest here in the capital of this great nation. Bob really belongs here. He loved being here, and in turn, he was loved by all who were touched by him. You only need to talk to the elevator operators, to the maintenance people, to the people who really maintain and support this Congress, to find out that Bob Bartlett was more than just a senator. He was their friend. He was never self-important. He was always self-effacing. And Bob Bartlett was bigger than life. The fact that a friend's wife or child was ill was as much concern to him as the headlines in the morning paper. He loved life and loved men. And all who brushed by him felt this love and returned it. The Library of Congress estimates that he had more bills passed by this Congress than any other member in the history of the Congress. I could detail the things that he had been responsible for. Senator Magnuson has mentioned many of them, but I would add to those that he mentioned the radiation safety bill, which set sweeping safety standards for all radiation emitting from equipment like television sets or X-ray machines. Or the Bartlett Act that provides that all federally funded buildings be constructed so as to provide easy access and use for the physically handicapped. The bills he was concerned with were the bills that related to making men's life healthier, happier, and a little closer to the good life that Bob Bartlett felt this nation should provide to its people. When we achieved statehood, Bob saw his dream materialize, but he also realized his work was not done. Statehood was just the beginning. The infant mortality rate, the eradication of TB and ear disease, the poverty of Alaska's native people, the high rate of unemployment, and the vulnerability of Alaska's defenses were new battles for him to fight. Bob once said, "If during my service in Congress as a delegate from Alaska, I can accomplish nothing else than to assist in some small measure in making sure that TB would never again take so many lives and cause such heartache and anguish, I should feel that my contribution had been worthwhile." When Bob Bartlett passed away, his battle against disease, death, and poverty had been joined. Unfortunately, it has not yet been won. Bob Bartlett saw Alaska gain its rightful place in the sisterhood of this union. He saw its people become strong and proud, its resources developing, its clean air and water the envy of others. Bob's eye has not dimmed, nor the natural force abated, because a good man never dies, and the idea he spawns lives forever. As James Whitcomb Riley said, a good man never dies, who lives for you and me, lives for the world he tried to help, he lives eternally, and I say again, a good man never dies. Future generations will remember Alaska's Bob Bartlett and be able to see his likeness, which you see here in the nation's capital. This fine statue was done by Felix DeWeldon, whose U.S. Marine Corps War Memorial has immortalized the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima. This Viennese-born artist came to our country in 1937, served in the Navy in World War II, and became a citizen of our country in 1945. He spent 10 years on the Marine Memorial as a self-assigned task. Felix DeWeldon's works are found in many countries, and he has made statues of many famous persons: George Washington, Simon Bolivar, India's Nehru, Sergeant York, Andrew Jackson, and the Arctic explorer Richard E. Byrd, among others. It was most fitting that a man of Felix DeWeldon's ability was chosen to create the Bob Bartlett statue. I'm deeply honored to accept the statue of my predecessor, Senator E.L. Bob Bartlett, in the name of the United States Senate. He was and is loved by all Alaskans and by all others who knew him. His deeds, words, and inspiration will never die. When Bob was buried in Fairbanks in 1968, his favorite poem was read then, and I hope you consider it appropriate to repeat it now. His favorite poem was, "Under the wide and starry sky, dig the grave and let me die. Glad did I live and gladly die, and I laid me down with a will. This be the verse you gave, here I lie where I long to be, home as a sailor, home from the sea, and the hunter home from the hill." Thank you very much.
We are particularly pleased to have the Coast Guard Academy Band and its director, Lieutenant Commander Broadwell, here to perform today. As chairman of the Merchant Marine Subcommittee, Senator Bartlett was a good friend of the Coast Guard. He recognized the fine contribution made by the Coast Guard in Alaska, and he was, in fact, referred to on the Hill as Mr. Coast Guard. May I call upon the United States Coast Guard Academy Band to play Alaska's flag, the song that was once the territorial song and now is the Alaska State song.
Thank you.
standing, just prior to the benediction, may I give a special thanks to the many Alaskans who have come for this special event 5,000 miles to honor Bob Bartlett. And it would be fitting, I think, at this time just to take 30 seconds to read something to you that Bob wrote. I love Alaska. My attachment for it, my concern for it, is so deeply embedded that it is a very part of me. There I have grown, studied, married, and worked. I have toiled in her beautiful natural setting as a gold miner. I have learned the life of her towns as a reporter. I have made her people as an appointed administrator and again as delegate and senator. As years pile upon years, there is a greater personal insistence in drawing upon memory's treasure trove. Reverend Elson for the benediction. There is a reception upon conclusion of the event here in room 207. S-207.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, dominion, and power both now and ever. Go in peace. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And may the blessing of God's love go with you and remain in you. Amen.